Welcome to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Stacey Hunke, author of Yes You Can, Everything You Need from A to Z to Influence Others to Take Action, part one of two. On behalf of the entire Strategy Driven team, I would like to welcome you to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Stacey Hunke, author of Yes You Can, Everything You Need from A to Z to Influence Others to Take Action, part one of two. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve superior results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag articles found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. In this special edition podcast, Stacey Hunke, president of First Impressions Consulting, shares with us her insights on the internal and external communications factors that help us positively influence those around us to take the actions we desire. And so, without any further delays, let's get started. We are privileged to be joined by Stacey Hunke, author of Yes You Can, Everything You Need from A to Z to Influence Others to Take Action, and president of First Impression Consulting, an organization focused on maximizing communication skills, changing behaviors, and improving performance. Stacey has more than 15,000 individuals on her client list both nationally and internationally. She has worked with leaders in the financial industry, advertising firms, medical industry, and everyone in between. Stacey is an expert in teaching the practical skills that build confidence and credibility in the areas of leadership and presentations. Stacey, welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast.
Thank you, Nate, and it's an honor to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, I am really happy that you're joining me on the show, because I know we're going to be talking about things that all of our listeners struggle with or are very concerned about on a day-to-day basis. Namely, we're going to get into meetings and we're going to talk about fear and presentations. I'm going to be a little nervous in this presentation because talking to a communications expert, I'm going to be a little more painfully aware of all those uhs and erms that I
I'll be easy on you.
Okay, thank you. Well, Stacey, your book, Yes You Can, focuses on the skills required to communicate with influence. And I want to start out by conveying to our audience that when you say communicate with influence, that in no way, shape, or form should lead our listeners to imply that you're relying on positional power. Because I don't think that there's anything in your book, any skill or any view that's provided that does rely on positional power. Yeah. I was just hoping we could start out by talking about what you mean by communicating with influence.
And it doesn't depend on your positional power. I think when you are effectively communicating, and how I define effective is you do have impact on people and you've got influence on them, influencing them to be able to take action. And the idea of impact is you come across as credible, confident, knowledgeable, someone that your listeners can trust, believe, and as a result take the action you want them to take. Because influencing others to take action really is the basis of communication. That's the whole reason why we have a conversation, is we usually want someone to respond a certain way, to take action, whether that's a positive action, a negative action, whatever it may be. And I think the idea of people don't quite understand what it takes to have impact and what it takes to have influence. And the book is designed to lay out very bullet point, practical, immediate skill sets that no matter who you are, no matter what you do for a living, no matter what position you have or company you work for, or even if you're an entrepreneur, everyone can walk away with material that's truly going to help them build relationships and cultivate those.
Absolutely. And one of the things that came to mind just again and again as I was reading your book and thinking about communicating with influence, I reflected back on my days in the Navy, and I was always taught, well, what was for me a very powerful message was that your authority didn't come from the rank you wore on your collar or your sleeve, but rather by the respect that you earned day to day from those around you. You didn't have to be an admiral to have influence.
And it is about respect. I'm always telling my participants it's not a matter of whether or not people like you, because not everyone's going to like you, and that's just reality. But where the power comes in is when people respect you. And I think where that respect comes from, Nathan, is when individuals can tell that you're conveying a message that is about them. You show interest. You come to the table with knowledge and background on what's important to your listeners. And then most importantly, that your message matches what you're saying. How you say it matches your words. And that comes through, too, in the passion for your message and, again, how you relate it to what's important to your listeners. I think too many times we get so caught up in our own message that we have a conversation with ourselves, or you introduced the program today, the fear of presenting and delivering that presentation. We've got that discomfort of standing in front of a group because we get so caught up in what we're going to say. Rather, if we could just focus more on what's important to our listeners, have a conversation with them, a lot of times that fear goes away, and as a result, you do have more impact.
And thinking about that impact and the influence, right up in the front of the book, you talk about the three most essential skills to communicating with influence. And these were particularly powerful. They spoke to me. And you named them as attitude, authenticity, and audience. Could you tell us a little bit about those three skills? And then really, what makes those three so foundational to everything else that you present in the book?
I'm going to start backwards and start with audience, the last one that you listed.
Okay.
I stated earlier that your audience can tell when you are not prepared, when you're canned, memorized, when your message does not relate to what's important to them. And they tune out. Sometimes you can tell that they're tuning out. Sometimes they have a lot of questions and objections for you. That's a sign that they've tuned out. But if the importance of any type of message, again, they go back to the whole purpose of our call today, impact and influence, the only way you're going to have that is if you truly design your message that's important to your listeners. And that also ties to getting rid of the fear that we might have presenting, if that's the type of scenario that we find ourselves in. We get so caught up in ourselves. That creates the fear, whether if we could just get rid of that fear and put all our focus in the most important element during that conversation, which is our audience, a lot of that fear, believe it or not, goes away.
Sure.
And with audience, then you tie it to authenticity. I am a big believer that no matter what type of conversation you're having, no matter how high the stakes are, maybe you're in a sales call, maybe you're up on a platform, it's being authentic. Be yourself. Have a conversation with your listeners instead of coming across as you're canned, you're memorized, or your listeners can tell you have given the same line to everyone else that you've talked to. And then
authenticity,
you know, I think that's part of your natural self. Be yourself.
Yeah.
Just adapt your natural self to who you're speaking to. So that's how authenticity and audience relate to each other.
Yeah. And people want to speak to you,
yeah,
not the person you think they want to speak to.
Exactly. You know, of course, it's similar to if I'm going to sell you, Nathan, a bottle of water, and I'm also going to sell your editor a bottle of water. Well, my main objective is to sell that bottle of water, but how I get that should be different. The conversation should be different because I want to speak your words. I want to use terminologies, words, expressions that are important to you rather than if I was selling it to your editor. And I think that's really the piece that people miss. They know they're supposed to do that. We've heard for years to do your research and listen to your listeners. We don't take the time to do it. And especially as we get more and more comfortable in our career and we know the message like the back of our hand, we just take it for granted. And especially with sales. You know, I see that a lot with sales professionals. I think we're all kind of guilty of that. And the last one that you mentioned in the book is attitude. The other day, I was speaking at a university out on the West Coast that I speak to every year. And I was walking down the street, and a woman approached me, and she said, "Oh, loved your class." And she's going on and on. She goes, "But I can't do it," meaning she could not make the changes I had recommended. So I'm standing there listening to her say constantly that she can't do it. And she then paused, waited for my response, and I said to her, "I know, you can't do it." And her eyes got really large, and she says, "What do you mean I can't?" And I said to her, "Well, you've already convinced yourself that you cannot do it. And no matter what I say or whatever you learned a year ago to this date, you will not make the change." And this also goes with the fear of presenting. When someone comes to me and they want me to help them get over the fear, and it might be that extreme discomfort, the first question I ask them is, "What are you afraid of? What is it?" And a lot of times, Nathan, they'll tie it back to a bad experience they had. For example, one of my participants a couple weeks ago, he tied it back to grade school when he had to give a book report. And the boys in the back of the room were laughing at him. He said they start throwing things at him. Well, you know, he relates that whole idea of getting up in front of a group to that experience. So sometimes it's a matter for our listeners just to dig a little deeper and figure out, what is it? What truly is the worst thing that can happen? And none of your listeners ever come to listen to you speak expecting you to fail. Most of them probably would rather be in their shoes than up on stage in your shoes. And the other piece of that attitude is you've got to convince yourself that you truly have a message to deliver. And your listeners, they only know what you tell them. They don't know what you came to the table with. They only know what you tell them. And you figure that out by going back to who are your listeners, the importance of your audience.
Right. And I also find when we talk about fear that the audience that I work with all expect me or anybody else they're working with to be human. So we tend to blow up, or at least I do, mistakes and make them much more monumental than they are to any of my listeners.
Right. I would agree with that. I think it's because, Nathan, when we are having a conversation, whatever that conversation looks like or whatever situation it may be in, how we feel when we communicate is so different 9 out of 10 times from what our listeners really see. And that's what my book gives individuals, more awareness of what others see and hear when they communicate, so that when they're in a situation, they recognize what they're saying or doing is not working. And what I mean by it's not working, they're creating a distraction for their listeners. And if you create a distraction for your listener, you will not influence them. You'll have no impact. That by taking the skills and techniques from the book, you can adapt your message, your style, on the fly without your listeners ever knowing it.
Right. Absolutely.
And then, you know, until we're aware of the perceptions others create of us, we'll continue to behave the same way, to speak the same way, and then continue to wonder, why am I stuck here?
And just to let our listeners know, one of the things that I loved about the book is that at the end of every, I'll call it a chapter, and it's broken up alphabetically, is that you have a section that has action items and questions and then notes they should take. And so it does give them a chance to do some of that introspective look and pondering and reflection and ask themselves those kinds of questions about what's holding me back.
Yeah.
You know, what does my audience really perceive of me?
You need to do that, right? I mean, no matter if it's my book or any other author that you've interviewed, when you read the book, whatever book you read, It's not about just reading the book. It's not about the contents of the book. It's what you do with that material that will have the greatest impact on your development, both personally and professionally.
You couldn't have put it better. You don't really get anything out of the book unless mm-hmm. you do the introspection and then you act on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you make that improvement and that change.
And I think that's why changing communication behavior is so difficult. My participants are always asking me, then how long did it take you to do it? How long do you think it'll take me? And my response to that, forever. This is a lifelong process.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to any athlete, musician, actor, actress. Their education and their practice and their craft, it never ends. And that's the piece I think people miss.
And I think of, well, some of the sports figures I admire. I like Peyton Manning.
Mm.
I'm an Indianapolis Colts fan.
Yeah.
And part of what I admire about him is the fact that before every game, all of the film he studies, the fact he's the first on the field and he's the last to leave, and he's in just that constant mode of ever practicing and improving and analyzing what he could have done better, what he could have done differently to be a better leader, a better team member, a better teammate, all those things.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I was at a client site a couple of months ago, Nathan, and as I was working with, it was a group of sales professionals. They kept raving about the VP, I think she was the VP of marketing. They kept saying how amazing she is in meetings or any conversations that they see her in or when she's up presenting in front of the group. And they kept saying, you know, she's so fortunate that she's born with this skill. And I'm thinking, oh, they're not getting the point here. Well, I raised curiosity. I wanted to meet this VP of marketing because she sounded like an amazing woman. Lo and behold, later that day, I'm walking through the hallways of this company, and I was introduced to her. And I was sharing with her how, the recognition and how people were talking about her in the classroom. And as I'm sharing her all these stories, she's got this grin on her face. I asked her, what's the grin for? She says, they have no idea the amount of practice and time I put into every speech I give. So I grabbed her by the hand. I said, come with me and make sure you tell these sales professionals exactly that because they think it's innate.
Sure. She makes it look so easy, but they just don't realize the reason it looks easy is all the preparation that's done in advance.
It's true. I think the difficult things, most difficult things in life, like communicating with impact, like being a top sales professional, a top actor, actress, it's tough because these individuals do what unsuccessful people don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, when I say unsuccessful, I'm referring to communication. You know, an effective communicator does what all others don't want to do. And that's put the time and energy into fine-tuning their ability to connect with people, their ability to convey a message no matter what situation they're in. And it's hard work.
Absolutely. Now, Stacy, you talk about, well, many skills, but one other one I wanted to ask you about, and it's one that I see a lot of leaders struggle with, and it's that of consistency.
Mm.
So I wanted to ask you about consistency in communication, what it is, what it looks like, and then why it's important to being able to communicate with influence.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you an example, see if you can relate. If you've ever, you've known someone personally, professionally, and then when you see this individual present in front of a group, they become someone that you don't know them as.
Sure.
You know what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
Where they almost put on this acting role when they present.
Yes.
And that's one piece to consistency. The skills and techniques, meaning how you stand, how you sit, what your eyes convey, what your hands convey, all these components of nonverbal behavior, if you want to be perceived confident, Monday to Monday, you need to be consistent in your delivery all the time. And that's the other piece that my participants really struggle with. They will say to me, well, if I'm going up in front of a client to do a business pitch, that's when I would present more professionally. And I say to them, why turn it on just at that point? Because every second of the day, yeah, when you're professionally having those conversations, you're presenting yourself. So why not put the same amount of effort, consistent effort, into before you give a conference call, before you have a conversation with your coworker in the break room? And so mm-hmm. that's one piece of consistency. I mean, if you truly want to improve your tennis game, your golf swing, when you practice before the U.S. Open, you would practice the way that you plan on playing in the U.S. Open. And I think the right. difference between that concept of an athlete versus us as professionals, we don't have practice time every day. Instead, it's game time for us every day.
Yes,
but instead,
absolutely.
If you could just really practice your nonverbal behavior in all communications when the stakes get really high, however our listeners define that for themselves, that's not the time to be thinking about, I wonder how I'm standing. I wonder what my hands, my eyes are communicating. Because that's the time you want to be focusing on exactly what you need to say based on who you're speaking to.
Mm-hmm. And to use my football analogy, I always tell people that you're going to play on Sunday the way you practice during the week, regardless.
Exactly.
It's just too hard to turn on and off. And mm-hmm. and then even from, in some respects, it's an ethical perspective. If we think about email communications for a moment, and so many businesses look at those. Well, if we're always very professional in the way we communicate, well, we have no issue showing anybody mm-hmm. our work because we just have no fear. But if we're only professional in how we communicate to the boss, mm-hmm. there's plenty of opportunities for folks to be looking over our shoulder and catch us in those then not so professional times. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't usually bode for good things.
Exactly. I mean, if you saw me speak to, let's say I was in a meeting with you and I behaved one way that probably wasn't that professional, didn't come across credible or confident, and then a week later you see me up in front of a group and I'm all polished.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just no consistency there, and I don't think you ever gain the respect that mm-hmm. you really have. I think consistency also ties to authenticity. The more consistent you are, I think the more true you are. And suddenly people do start giving you feedback to, you're so conversational. I'm always so relaxed around you, no matter what type of conversation we're having. Consistency from a leader's perspective or anyone that has to lead people, I think is also extremely beneficial. I think your team takes you more serious, especially when you have to convey challenging news, bad news, if there's a conflict that you have to deal with one of your team members, you're taken more seriously, and I think people, it comes back to that respect we talked about earlier.
Right. And I'd like to pick up on one particular word you used, and you said true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your true self. And I think when a leader or anyone in an organization is true to themselves, they engender trust.
Yeah.
And if you have an organization that is built on trust, you know, you have the foundation for a high-performing organization and certainly the ability to influence others.
Mm-hmm. See, I mean, it's just in our conversation that we've had up to this point, Nathan, you look back at where we started and where we are right now, the complexity mm-hmm. of communication.
Yes.
There's so many things to think about, to examine, to look at. But I think the best advice I could give to any of our listeners is if you have not ever, or it's been a while since you've seen yourself on a video playback, you know, videotape yourself mm-hmm. in a meeting, a conversation, a presentation, whatever it may be, it's time to take a look at that. Because without that self-assessment that you're able to do with a video playback of yourself, you just, all this material that we're talking about, I think doesn't have as great of impact until you get to see through your listeners' eyes and hear through their
right.
ears what they're experiencing during a conversation with you.
And doing a videotape today with today's technology is not difficult. Most mm-hmm. of us have video recorders on our cell phones
mm-hmm.
or webcams built into our computers. So
it's so simple to do, but I think truth be told, because the video camera doesn't lie, It gives you a chance to immediately make changes. It goes back to, we just don't know what we don't know. And we really do have a mystery about what other people see and hear. One of my peers had once shared with me, it's as if you are part of a picture that is framed. And until you take a step out of that picture frame, everyone that's walking by to take a look at you in the picture sees it from such a different perspective, a different angle, than you'll ever be able to view it.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
And it just
and so
makes
true.
Sense. We see it differently.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. I would like to personally thank Stacey Hunke for being with us today and sharing her insights on improving personal communication skills. As always, we would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. You can find more information about Stacey Hunke and Yes You Can at www.stacyhunke.com. Until next time, so long.